From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests today are Chad Cisneros and Dave Reed, the progressive trance duo known globally as Tritonal. These boys have made the DJ Mag Top 100 a couple of years in a row, and they're getting out there hitting Australia and Europe, South America and Asia, and rubbing elbows with some of the best in the biz, including Ferry Corsten, Gareth Emery, Afrojack, Artie, and the list goes on and on. These guys are passionate, schooled, and they're about to drop some knowledge on unsuspecting young producers trying to make it in this crazy industry. They're also about to drop their latest remix, Can't Keep It In, a reworking that comes in a long series of remixes from their debut LP, Piercing the Quiet. More on that in a bit. By the way, we're enjoying Sometimes I Get a Good Rebound, a Tritonal mashup of Matt Zoe and Artie versus Avicii. This episode of the Unce Podcast is sponsored by Sabient Soiree, taking place March 30th through April 1st at Cushers Resort in Monticello, New York, just a couple of hours outside of NYC. Performers include Spangle, Conspirator, Ott, Bird of Prey, Future Primitive, Naughty's Warriors, Derek Van Scoten, Biodiesel, Dopapod, Le Special, and more. And you have until March 23rd to win free tickets at theunce.com. Okay, let's get to the interview. First of all, congratulations! Your mix of Slave with Ben Gold hit number one on the Beatport Trance charts last month.
Woohoo!
Yeah, absolutely. David, it seems like Piercing the Quiet has taken on a life of its own and continues to serve as source material for even more work.
Oh, yeah, no, it has for sure. I mean, we've been going back and listening to the mixes that we did finish for Piercing the Quiet, and although the album is very versatile, we wanted to show a range of different style of sounds in the album. Now we've kind of taken that focus to a different level with our remixes, which will be in the Piercing the Quiet extended remix album.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Tell me, Chad, this club dub mix of Slave features a BPM in the 130s, this tenacious side-chaining, and a really aggressive beat, all sort of hallmarks of the new electro sound. Is that kind of a feel you were aiming for this new take?
Man, you got it. And you can hear that in Lifted. You can hear it in, you know, Can't Keep It In. You can hear it in Broken Down, the club mix of that, and Something New. Almost every one of the club mixes from our album have been focused just that, you know, for the club. And when we go and when we play a festival, we play a big room, you know, we love to rock the floor with high energy. We jump around, we clap, we get into it with our fans. And so the big fun bass lines play a pivotal role in that, you know, is just as much as the catchy melodies and the, you know, sort of the arrangement that's not so, for lack of a better word, old school trance, you know, sort of I'm going to take you on a journey arrangement. It's not so structured like that. It's very quick transition. It's much more sectionalized in the arrangement of the songwriting, and it's just high energy the whole time. And so, you know, and that's sort of the reason we removed the vocal too. It's just really big catchy melody, get all the hands in the air, big builds, and just sort of go for it, you know. And that's kind of been what did more is we wrote that to really get into beautiful melodies and good chord progressions and really take the listener on a journey throughout a whole hour. These mixes are, they're singles and they're high energy and they're high impact, and you know, you're definitely right. We definitely wanted to take on this sort of new sound.
I wonder, we're recording this the day after the Grammy Awards, and you know, the big story as far as electronic dance music goes is Skrillex walking away with a few awards there, and really just the changes that have happened over the past couple of years, and even down to, you know, you can see it on almost a monthly or weekly basis. What is it like on the ground? I wonder what do you see happening industry-wide? What do you see happening, you know, with your own sets and your own fans and the sounds that people are craving in the clubs?
No, it's definitely reflected a lot of the changes in our sets as well. I mean, we kind of like it. We like the change. We like the fact that trance and dance music are becoming so commercial to the point to where Hollywood is starting to take note of it, and it's turning heads over to those guys over there. I mean, it does make for a good appearance of the dance scene. However, Chad did have a couple things to say about a couple things from the Grammys, right, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, Dave and I come from roots where, like, Above and Beyond and Ocean Lab and those sort of like, you know, epic Hallmark trance tracks, Armin van Buuren and Tiesto. Like, those are the roots that we come from. And we love pure trance more than anybody. So when we say that we embrace the commercial change and when we embrace electro and dubstep and all these things, it's not because we don't still love that old stuff. We do. We just think that dance music for so long has been stigmatized by drugs, warehouse raves, and, you know, cracked out kids in the US. And from, you know, two guys who don't even drink when we play, we don't do drugs, you know, we're in this thing for a career. We want to support our families on this thing. And when we see dance music losing that stigma and getting embraced in the mainstream, it's not because we don't love tracks like Still With Me or Ever After or, you know, On a Good Day or Good For Me or freaking Sirens of the Sea. It's not because we don't love that purity. It's just because we see music evolving, and it's always evolved. It's evolved from the beginnings of time, and it will continue to. And from our perspectives as two guys who treat business as not only a passion but also a business, it's important that we stay current, you know. And in the US, like you were saying, there's this big movement on the ground, and when we play a festival in Europe, it's a much different experience than when we play a festival in the US. We played a festival just last month in Europe where it was all trance for like 8 hours. It was, you know, freaking Rank One, Tritonal, Andy Moore and Ashley Walbridge, Gareth Emery, John Double of Fleming, all the way through. We play an Insomniac Festival at Electronic Daisy Carnival. It might be Skrillex, then Deadmau5, maybe Above and Beyond, maybe Afrojack, all sharing the same stage. You know, maybe even some hard style stuff. And the kids in the U.S. are looking at dance music a lot differently than, you know, the sort of the fans of old that are maybe now in their upper 20s or older 30s. You know, like, it's a different day, and you don't necessarily have to hate one artist to love another. You still see that, you know. Haters are gonna hate, but like, we congratulated Skrillex last night on our freaking Tritonal Facebook page because we think it's awesome what he's achieving. It doesn't mean that I listen to Skrillex every day and you know that we're gonna play dubstep just because that's hot. Like, we have our own sound, our own style, our own passion. But we like to see EDM being applauded and congratulated. And look, for that guy to do that at 23 years old, that's awesome. And even though we don't play that sort of sound, we don't have to hate on that. We don't have to like boo that or you know, like, there were so many like hateful comments, you know, just because it's dubstep. And as trance artists, you know, we're not hateful guys, we're not hateful artists. And you know, even Dave and I's productions, like, we loved like some of the stuff. Like, an example of a track that we both love that's definitely not a trance track is Save the World by the Swedish House Mafia. That's a completely commercial track. But from our view, we just love good music. It's got an amazing melody. It's a great progression. It's a big, catchy vocal. And those are all the things that we try to instill in our production. So I don't want to continue rambling on. I think we could like talk about this stuff forever because we're so passionate about it. But, you know, sure. I think at the end of the day, really, we say that we're embracing this. It's just because we love music and we love to see it evolve.
Tritonal featuring Christina Soto, Hands to Hold Suzu, a Tritonal mashup.
obviously you've got this deep passion for the music, and it's clear that you're, you know, on some levels a purist. You love your you know, the old school tracks that really got you in. I mean, you're based out of Austin, Texas, which is, for all intents and purposes, the epicenter of indie music. Tell me, how does a guy like yourself get introduced to trance music there in Texas?
Well, I mean, we kind of touched on it in the last conversation. You know, Texas, and for the U.S. as a most part, when I was 14, 15 years old, EDM was not how it was in Europe. Like, I got exposed to it from going to parties, you know, and warehouses and raves and these sort of underground movement that was going on, you know, back then. And that got outlawed in Texas. And for a lot of years, EDM took a big hit in the U.S. because there was a transition period where it was all rave music, it was all drug music, and it was super stigmatized, and, you know, deservedly so to some degree.
Sure.
And it had to make the transition from that into the nightclubs. And that took a good few years. During that time, I was in the University of Texas. I still had my love of music. And, you know, as I was graduating, I met Dave online, and we listened to a lot of, you know, A State of Trance podcast and Tiesto and Armin and Above and Beyond online together. And, you know, we just love to listen to it and say, oh, I love this, and I, you know, I'm not really a fan of that, and I really love how this melody does this. So, you know, while all my friends were listening to, you know, Tool and Rage Against the Machine, and I mean, obviously I had an ear to the ground for all the rap music and stuff that was going on in the U.S. But I was just kind of like one of those oddballs that always look for, like, the next, you know, Radio 1 Essential Mix by Sander Kleinenberg, or the new mix that I could get from Sasha, or listening out for Digweed's new Bedrock Sessions and stuff like that. Like, figuring out what was going on in Europe, because, you know, I knew that stuff was cool, you know, and to me that stuff was awesome. And so, you know, I guess I was just kind of weird in that I got exposed to it in sort of a rave scene, but I kept the passion. Even though I got out of the partying and all that, I kept the passion for the music. And, you know, once Dave and I connected, and, you know, we'd always been making beats, you know, separate, alone. But once we got together, we really set it down as a profession and like a full-time career path. And that's where things for Tritonal began to sort of take off.
Dave, I wonder, were things a little bit different on the East Coast? Did you still have your top 40 clubs, but also a little bit more, I guess, maybe a wider acceptance of dance music, especially that coming from Europe? Or was it sort of similar in that you had to find your own niche? You were based in DC. Did you have to find, you know, either solace in finding the few sparse people who are into trance in the States? Or was there some place that you could go and be exposed to this, you know, physically stand somewhere and listen to this music?
Well, it was actually quite different over there. I mean, I didn't really do a lot of partying. I didn't go to a lot of clubs. I wasn't exposed to that, but it wasn't that big up there at the time, especially. So yeah, like you were saying, it took more of a niche. I mean, it was just really me and a couple friends that would listen to trance music. We were the nerds. We were the weird guys, you know?
Sure.
So, and, like, you know, I was like, whatever, I don't care. I love trance. It doesn't matter. I don't care if anyone thinks I'm a nerd or a geek. It's beautiful music. And it wasn't as, I mean, I think that the DC is a little bit more strict when it comes to the party scene. Texas was a little bit more laid back. And as Chad was saying, you know, now recently they've locked down a lot of things. But in DC, I never actually did go to the club. Ever. I was only making music down in my dad's basement for the longest time there with my friends. And so, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, listening to, like Chad was saying, Above and Beyond and Armin and A State of Trance and Search of Sunrise compilations, and just staying up to date online with trance. And I mean, there was a lot of exposure online, and that was the best, at least in the DC area at the time. I'm sure it's different now, but I haven't been back for a while.
So basically, we came from, like, completely two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's completely separate.
Yeah.
Dave, how do you make that move? How do you make that jump and say, we're going to do this? I'm going to get down to Texas. We're going to be able to, you know, work more closely on this music. Obviously, A, it's a huge risk, and B, I mean, what's the plan? You just say, hey, we're going to get together. This is going to work. We're just going to do it somehow.
Well, you know, I mean, Chad and I have a really large passion, if you will, for the music. And the thing is what made me make the move was the risk, actually, because, you know, at least I could say, you know what, I tried. I did it. I wanted to make sure that I could at least attempt to achieve it. And the thing is down in Texas, there was a lot more opportunity than in DC, at least for me personally. And the thing is, I saw a lot of potential in Tritonal at the time, and there was just too much. It was too much of a good thing to pass up. I mean, originally I had come down before because I had family to visit, and I visited Chad in the studio, and he was working on a couple remixes, and we knocked something out in like 4 hours, and it was great. And originally, fun fact is that Tritonal was just going to be a collaboration of just like two or three tracks, but it actually expanded out into something a lot better. And so, I mean, yeah, it was really rough having to move down here. I left all my friends. I left my family. I was just down here at a studio that my uncle bought, and it's been a really life-changing experience, though. A real life-changing experience, at least for me, because it's been a lot of, there's been a lot of growth, a lot of learning, and definitely Austin, without a doubt, is the place to do it at, for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, what he means too is like, it's a lot less expensive and a lot more stable economy. Well, even then, but even now in Texas, like the cost of living is cheaper. It is a contemporary city, and it would have been a lot tougher had the situation been reversed. Me moved to Washington D.C. as well.
It wouldn't have worked that way because it would have been too hard. We would have, let's say we went up to D.C. We would have. I think we could have gotten somewhere online, but like in Texas, we were able to get out and work our ass off, and that's the thing that really helped boost us a lot.
Yeah.
So I think. Right. Yeah. I mean, that pretty much settles that. Yeah.
So there were places for you to play out. It wasn't just sit there in the studio, churn out a bunch of tracks, and hopefully they hit some sort of viral status on the web.
It was freaking. We were gangster about it, man. We hustled. I mean, early on, Dave and I saw that. If, you know, there were, of course, you can be a bedroom DJ and or producer, and one in a million, like a Deadmau5 will make a bunch of hits overnight and become a superstar. But the majority of people don't even make it. And even the ones that do are usually the ones that are perseverant and hardworking. And that's our story. Like early on, Dave and I, you know, would work during the studio at day, and we would contact promoters at the clubs and stuff at night and really go out and hit the streets as part of their street team and flyer cars and flyer events and stand out and pass out flyers to shows in order to get our first initial opening slots for very small shows. And this even continued on up until we had tracks signed with Injuna Beats, like Lights Over Austin and stuff. We were still flying. You know, I remember the very first opportunity we got was to play a pretty big show, was to open for Ferry and Corsten, and the place was sold out, and we absolutely went for it, like played like the headliner would, which probably wouldn't do that again looking back now, but at the time we were so like hungry, you know, to gain fans and to show what we felt like we could do. And Ferry was very gracious about it. Like, I can really say if it had been many other DJs, we probably would have gotten either chewed out or definitely glared at, but he came on stage and was like super freaking cool and was like, you guys are look like you're having awesome. I've been listening to your set. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, who are you guys? What do you do? We stayed until he finished and handed him, a couple of tracks that we had actually just finished. And then, like, I think it was the next day or the day after, he signed both of them. And 6 months later, or not even that long, like 3 or 4 months later, we were playing with him in L.A. at Vanguard to, like, you know, like 3,000 or 4,000 people. And things changed quick, you know, but no, we weren't ushered in at all. We had to go out there and hustle. And that's why, to anybody that we're talking to who's serious about giving it a go, we're like, you know, you gotta lay it all out on the line. Like, take classes, do your homework, don't party, work your ass off, and go for it if you really want to go for it, because it's not an easy industry at all. Even now, it's not. It's hard as shit to get up to the top, and once you're there, it's probably even harder to stay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to the guys that have, and we have so much respect and admiration for them, and that's why we continue to work as hard as we do now, because we're still hungry to grow.
Here is the career changer himself, Ferry Corsten and Artie versus Matt Zoe and Ronsky Speed. We belong to Mozart, a Tritonal mashup, right here on the UNTS Podcast.
you're talking about breaking this music out there in Texas and finding the right clubs and the right promoters that'll work with you. You're headed down to Australia. You got this big, huge Australian tour coming up in April as part of Creamfields. I wonder, are audiences different down under? Do you have to adapt your sets, or because of the ubiquity of the internet, you know, trends and preferences have evened out around the world? I wonder, Dave, do you see your audiences, you know, sort of becoming unified just for the simple fact that the internet makes everybody that much closer?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't see any difference, really. I mean, we could play in the U.S. and we could play over in Australia, and it feels like the same kind of vibe to me. And, you know, I think it's spread like a virus, too. And I think Chad would agree on this, that, you know, no matter where we go, there's always that unified, like, intelligence that they know exactly what song that is, or they know exactly, you know, what kind of tracks we're going to play. I mean, it's the same kind of feeling, and I love the fact that it's spreading like that.
Yeah, we used to get told that all the time, right, Dave? Like, we heard, like, oh, you know, South America is so different than Asia, and you got to play different for Australia. And we're always confused, like, really? Like, how do you change? And we had all the, because we weren't touring early on, obviously. And man, we just, once it happened, it happened fast, and we didn't really have time to think about it. And we just went over there and rocked it like we would anywhere else, I guess. And it's like you're saying, it's been the same. I mean, we haven't really, like, analyzed it and thought about, is it the internet or whatnot? But I think that's a good point, and I think you're probably right. I mean, especially with podcasts and radio shows, I mean, we're all listening to the hot new tracks, you know, so they know them. I mean, we don't play any different with what Dave was saying, and I love that. I think we can be who we are wherever we are, and I think that's what you should do. You know, we're artists today. We'd like to think of ourselves more as producers, not just, you know, DJs who produce. And so we want to be representative of the sound that we make. And so we don't want to change that just because we're on a different continent. I mean, Coldplay wouldn't write a new song for freaking Korea just because he's in Korea. I mean, yeah. he'd play his paradise, you know, and that's kind of what we want to be too, more just artists, you know. So yeah, it's good.
Sure. Before I let you go, Dave, by the time this podcast comes out, your latest release, a remix of Awakenings, will have dropped. Tell me a bit about the track and what sort of motivations you had going into the remix process.
Well, I mean, we like to keep our remixes different apart from each other. Like, you know, our previous track that we did remix recently called the Once in a Life remix by Kai and Albert. We loved the feeling of that remix. However, we like to go back to the roots of our bass lines, and we listened to the original of the Super 8 and Tab mix, and coming into this remix, we wanted to go down into a deep bass line and something that could be something down the lines of like the Gift by Norton and Rad. And so coming in with good melody, a good bass line, and just an overall deep feeling for the club, it works so well, and we love producing that kind of material.
Chad, what's next for Tritonal?
Well, man, we just finished a new one today. We finished a remix for Cosmic Gate. I'm not sure that we have liberty to tell you the name of the track, but I can tell you it's from their album, Wake Your Mind, and we're super excited about it. We're probably going to play a little preview of it in LA at the Exchange. We're also just about ready to release our next club mix from Piercing the Quiet. We've only got two more left, so this is one of them. It's Can't Keep It In featuring Jezza, the Tritonal Club Mix. We debuted it in UK at Digital Society, and it went down really, really well. The next one that we're going to do is Ever After, which Craig Connolly and Mike Shiver have already done remixes for. And, you know, then it's time to wrap it up in a bow and send Piercing the Quiet on down the river. Like, we've got the extended mixes, the club mixes, and the remixes coming out. And on the remixes, we've got Stoneface and Terminal, Super 8 and Tab, Ronsky Speed, Matt Zoe, Raphael Frost, like, on and on and on. We've got some really cool remixes in, from, you know, full-on trance like Nitrous Oxide and Suncatcher to super uper duper techie ones, you know. So we're really excited to get that album out and wrap up this album so Dave and I can dig into the new stuff. I mean, you can see our sound changing from track to track, and from, like you even said, like, it seems like week to week. And you know, as much as we love to do a fun old big bassline track, we love to do big catchy melody tracks, maybe a more emotional track. Christina and Meredith Call are both itching to get back in the studio, and we're also looking to do some vocal tracks. So some big things. I can say that we're also remixing Above and Beyond, a track from their group Therapy, so we're excited about that. There's just so much going on, you know. We've really literally had to look at our calendar and say, okay, these are all the weekends we're going to be out. Like, we don't have time to produce the way we used to, I mean, we've been like one of those artists that has consistently put out tracks. You know, you may not like every single track, or you may, but we've consistently worked. And considering the tour schedule's picking up like it is, you know, we really have decided that we need to make sure to keep up the track output, and maybe not as much, but really focus on making sure each track is big and it can have its life and it can have its moment. And so that's really the focus now. Like, I think a lot of people know who we are. So from this point forward, it really is just about making sure that the material we put out there is solid, and that it's absolutely the sort of material that we want people to hear. And, you know, look, moving forward, that's it. Like, we get asked all the time, is there a new album and all this and that? No, there's not right now. And, you know, when we wrote Piercing the Choir, we were inspired at that point to write an album, to put down an album. And I don't think you should write an album just because you just finished one. Like, going into our second album, we need to have something to say. And we had a lot to say with our first one. And it's not that we don't have anything to say now. It's just, you know, before we take on an endeavor that big and that, you know, career changing, I want to make sure that we flushed out a lot of ideas and that we know exactly what we want to go in and do. So who knows? I don't know. It could be next year. It could be the year after. It may never happen. I mean, it will do one, of course, but it needs to have meaning and purpose, you know? And so that's where we're at. I mean, a lot of stuff coming up, and should be fucking quite a good year, man. At State of Trance 550, Winter Music Conference, we're playing Space with Gareth. We're freaking playing, you know, the Insomniac Festivals. We got Creamfields Tour coming up. We're playing Tomorrowland in Belgium. We're going all through Europe. And I mean, it should be a good ride in 2012. And man, I think we deserve it. We've worked our little butts off up to this point and really, really worked hard on the album and getting all the club mixes. So we're going to enjoy it. We're really excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chad Cisneros, Dave Reed, thanks so much for being on the Unz podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's program. Special thanks go to Aaron Ossovetz with Theory X, and of course my guests Dave Reed and Chad Cisneros. Grab Tritonal's Club Mix, Can't Keep It In featuring Jezza on March 19th from Beatport, and you could get a chance to not only remix their track Lifted featuring Christina Soto from Piercing the Quiet, but get a chance to win a huge prize pack. Details online at tritonalmusic.com. Today's sponsor was Sibient Soiree. You can enter to win a pair of festival passes at the unz.com/contests. We have a whole bunch of goodies there anyway. Go to the unz.com/contest to see if you can win yourself a little something-something. Please visit the unz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com, A-N-A-N-D @theunz.com. Join the conversation at the Unz podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.